sing it this morning because it went in line with what we're supposed to be talking about. Committed to Jesus. Committed to Jesus. The song says, being fully committed. Being fully committed. The words are beautiful because it gives you an idea of what it means to be fully committed. Now, when you look at that definition for the word committed, it means I am willing to give my time, my energy, my resources. Also means to be devoted. And then means to give all. Not some of it, but to give all. And our text is going to come from Acts chapter number 20, 22 through 24. Now, when I was felt the Lord calling me to be a preacher, this was one particular passage that always stood out to me in my studies. And it's Paul writing concerning the things that were going to, he was going to have to confront in his work for Jesus. And it reads, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." I said that concerning Philadelphia. I felt I was bound by the Holy Ghost to come to Philadelphia, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the grace or the gospel of the grace of God. Now, in this particular passage, as we see, Paul is letting us know for himself, what does it mean to him to be committed to Jesus? What does it mean to him to be committed to Jesus? Notice he had knowledge of what is planned to break that commitment. He had knowledge of what was planned to break that commitment because he said he knew that there was nothing but what? Bonds and afflictions abide with me. In other words, he knew that that is what was what he was walking into. Yet he still felt obligated and committed to go forward with the work. And that's the same thing with you and I. We need to know what it is that's waiting in store for us. That way, when it comes, it might catch us a little bit. You might be a little shocked, but you should something inside of you should catch yourself and say, "I'm not surprised," because the enemy knows what I'm striving to do. He knows where my goal is. He knows that I want to please Jesus, and this is nothing but him trying to break my commitment. That's the truth. Ain't nothing but the devil trying to break my commitment. He know that I made a promise to the Lord, and he wants me to fold on my promise, to give in to my promise. But I thank Jesus just for the will and the mind just to keep moving forward no matter what. Now let's look at a couple of examples of what it looks like to be committed to Jesus. Each one of you get one of those scriptures, starting with Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 4. What does it look like to be committed to Jesus?
Acts 6 and 4 read, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word."
Now notice, does that fit in line with the definition for committed?
Yes.
It says, I'm willing to give my time, my energy, my resources, devoted to give all. It says but we will give ourselves continually to what?
Prayer.
To prayer and to the ministry, to the work, to the service of the what? Of the word. Now that's you and I. When you say that you want to serve the Lord, this is what Jesus is looking for. Jesus is looking for a committed life. A committed life. A committed life is a life where an individual is willing to do what? Give. Is willing to give. Notice what they said here. We will give ourselves continually to what? I believe the church would be so much stronger if we could just get the saints to be committed. Just be committed. Be committed to Jesus. Not saying that you don't have other things to do, but at the end of the day, where does Jesus fall at? Where does Jesus fall at? As the song say, you want to be what? Fully committed. He's not looking for a part-time saint. He's not looking for a part-time worker. And the saints realized this. As the saints started to be grown in this particular passage, as the church began to grow and more people came in, this is why the saints or the leaders of the church saw the need to institute the work of a deacon. The work of a deacon was given so that those that were delivering the word, those that were responsible for praying for and with the people, could do that. This is where the first deacons were first instituted. And he says, we're going to appoint them over this business. That's what verse number 3 say. Verse number 3 said, we're going to appoint the deacons or these brothers over this business. Why? Because we want to give ourselves continually to what? To prayer. That's right. To prayer and to the ministry of the word. Right? Of the word, saints. So, again, it takes a committed life to do that. It takes a committed life to do that. It takes a committed life. All right, next one. Luke chapter number 2, 36 through 38. Now, don't get lost. As I said, when we were talking, I just was talking about the leader of the church as a preacher. But you have to see yourself in there. What has Jesus given you to do? What work, what assignment, what task has he given you to do that he is requiring commitment? And you have to, according to verse number 4 in Acts, you need to give yourself over to that. Everybody should be committed to prayer because everybody needs prayer. You need prayer and people you know need prayer. Your city, your home, your family needs prayer. You say, Elder Scott, I am praying. Well, you need to be committed to it. And then when it's talking about committed, meaning you got to pray even when you don't feel like it. Even when you're tired, you still need to engage in prayer. You need to have a prayer life. And I told you, the majority of your prayer is going to be spent off of your knees. In other words, you got to have a humble attitude. You get on your knees to be humble. You get on your knees to be submissive. You know, and they say, Elder Scott, I'm struggling with being humble and submissive. Then get back on your knees a little while longer till the Lord teaches you how to be low. But then after you get up off of your knees, you still have to have that same attitude. You still need to have a humble, low attitude. Be willing to be told something. Be willing to be instructed. Be willing to be chastised. Be willing to be corrected. Prayer helps you to be that way. Prayer keeps you in a workable state. And we want to, as saints, be in a workable state. We don't want the Lord to look at us and say, I've tried so much to work with them, but they're just a rebellious and a stiff-necked people. We don't want that to be said about ourselves. Say, Elder Scott, how do I correct that? Get in prayer. Humble yourself and get before Jesus and call on his name. Ask the Lord to help me, Jesus, to overcome my flesh so that I can be the person that you desire for me to be. Someone that is workable, right? That's the truth, saints. Continually give yourself over to prayer. And also to service. Huh? To service. Your service requires that you work even when stuff is uncomfortable. You understand what I'm saying? Now, there may be areas in your life that you're willing to work. And you do it with ease. But then the Lord will move you from that. He'll say, that's not all that I have for you to do. I need you to move past where you're working at to a space, a life where you're uncomfortable. Where it goes against where you feel at home. That's the truth, saints. And that's nothing more than what happened to me. I'm not telling you any more than what happened to me. I can relate what Paul was saying when he says that he had to go to Jerusalem to a place that was uncomfortable. Why? Because he knew what was ahead of him. It would have been easier for him to stay where he was, but he felt bound by the Holy Ghost to move in an area where there was bonds and afflictions waiting for him, right? That's the truth. It was, Lord knows, if I would have known a lot of the things that I had to confront when I came to Philadelphia, I would have stayed put. I would have stayed right where I was. But Jesus moved me to come. Jesus moved me to come into the city not knowing any of you. Only one I knew before I got here that's here today is Sister Fisher. I didn't know any of you. I knew my wife. That was it. Well, she was just my girlfriend, if you want to call her that, at the moment. But I didn't know any of you because I came here in 95. Didn't get married till 98. So she was just someone that I was interested in. And she was interested in me. So we were still trying to figure that thing out about, you know, our relationship, loving one another, liking one another, if you want to call it that. So all of these things were going on in my mind. And I had to leave her in Maryland and still come up here in 95 and do the work Jesus had given me to do. I had to deal with her, you know, telling me she loved me and I love her, and being pulled away from her and her trusting that I wasn't going to fall in love with somebody else up here, and I had to trust she wasn't going to fall in love with somebody else down there. But the beautiful thing about that, when I was engaged in that work, those things didn't even cross my mind. Why? Because I was bound by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost had me focused on the work that was assigned for me to do. Now, when I came up here, I did not come up here to a place that was welcoming me. Only one that was really welcoming me was Sister Sanders. Sister Sanders was the only one that was really welcoming me. Sister Fisher was still trying to figure it out. Mother Dawson was just going along to go along. But the only one that was really kind of pulling me in was Sister Sanders. And she pulled me in to a place that I was not necessarily physically comfortable at, because I was so accustomed to having service in a sanctified place. It took Jesus to open up my understanding. It took Jesus to open up my mind frame, to help me to think outside of the box, to make me see that where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst, right? That's the truth. And we had to just engage in the things that we knew to do in that living room. Huh? And the Lord met us in that living room. We didn't have musical instruments. All we had was sofa, chair, and listening ears. And we would get in there and praise Jesus with everything inside of us. Huh? While our sister's daughter and her grandson were upstairs living, we were downstairs lifting up our voices to Jesus, teaching the word of God, praying for the souls that would come. Ah, come on, saints. I know you don't think you just got here by mistake. But someone was in a living room somewhere praying for you when you had no mind to be saved. Someone was in this city praying for you. Thank the Lord for the saints, right? Thank the Lord for the committed life to Jesus, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? That's the truth. Thank the Lord for it. That's why I say you may not see the fruits of your labor right away, but you must give yourself. You got to be willing to give yourself, and you can't have a break in it. It can't be up and down, wishy-washy. You need to be continually in this thing. No matter what come your way, no matter who come or don't come, you've got to be committed to it, right? That's the truth, saints. Kept on coming. Kept on coming. We would have different ones walk in that our sister Sanders would invite to come into her home. She had to be willing to give of herself. Now her house, according to us, a lot of people would say, oh no, you know, this ain't a place of glamour, of luxury. But she was willing to open up her doors. She was willing to open up her doors. She was willing to have people to come into her home and have service. And even in service, sometimes people had to use the restroom. She was willing. willing to let the people use her restroom. She was making herself vulnerable. She was exposing herself. There are different people coming in, and they were coming in. Some folk may have wanted to come in and see what her house looked like because they had never been there. But when they got there, they realized this wasn't an opportunity for you to look around and see what people had. Why? Because we delivered the word of God. We delivered what thus saith the Lord. We cried with a loud voice, repent. Repent to who? To the sinner. To those that were sitting up under our voice, that were living up under the control of an Adamic nature. We were telling them, you must repent. You must stop that wrong stuff. We had people coming in there smelt like cigarettes. We knew that they smoked. We knew that they drunk. We knew that they were committing fornication and committing adultery. But that did not hinder the word of God. We still preach, repent, turn from that life of sin, and be baptized. Be baptized out in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sin, right?
Hey, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Jesus.
We preached it.
Jesus.
We taught it.
Jesus.
We tarried with the people.
Jesus.
We said you must
Jesus.
Have the Holy Ghost. You can't be satisfied coming in here enjoying this service. We tarried with
Jesus.
You. Yes, we did.
Yes,
yes we did.
Yes.
When our sister was able to get over from Jersey,
Jesus.
I told you she was struggling. Yes, she was. She'll testify of it. She was struggling, but every now and then she was able to get over there. We tarried with her. We called Jesus with her in that living room. And the Lord was in our midst. He still quickened our bodies. He let us know I am right there, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
And the Lord blessed. Lord started blessing our work.
Hallelujah.
Gave Sister Sanders' son a mind to come on into that living room. He was struggling. Oh, yes. Now, he may not tell it today, but oh, yes, he was there in that living room. Trying to find himself. Trying to find out what holiness was all about. And we preached unto him the name of Jesus. Come on. Nobody forced any of them to come this way. But they said, Lord, I'm willing. After they heard the word of God, they said, Lord, I'm willing to be saved. Those that had left the church came on into that living room and said the same thing. Lord, I'm willing to be saved. What must I do in order to go back with you? We preached unto them Jesus Christ and him crucified. It has not changed. We're still in this. The scripture says we gave ourselves continually to prayer, right? And to the ministry. Oh yeah, we didn't have a space. Our sister moved. And while she was getting her home ready, the Lord gave Mother Dawson the mind to open up her home. And we went on into her apartment. Not her house, her apartment. And we lifted up the name of Jesus. We lifted up the name of Jesus. That was our sanctuary. That was our holy ground. We lived out what the scripture said. When the scripture said they went from house to house, we lived out what the scripture said. Because we went from house to house. Mother Dawson some Sundays, Sister Sanders down the street some other Sundays. We went from house to house until the Lord opened up a door and gave us space to have service. Then we moved from there over onto Wallace Street. We didn't stop praying. We didn't stop preaching. We did what the Lord said. We were showing Jesus we were committed. Committed to who? Not to man, but to Jesus, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Went on to Wallace Street. Preaching Jesus. Preaching Jesus to him crucified. Praying continually. Many times. Saints couldn't make it in the service. Many times we struggled trying to keep the lights and things on. We didn't want to go running down to Bishop and saying, Bishop, we need help. Because the Lord didn't give the work to Bishop. He gave us the work to do. And we had to be faithful. No matter the bonds, no matter the
afflictions, we had to be faithful to Jesus. Now, Pico didn't understand our commitment. The water company didn't understand our commitment. But Jesus saw it. And Jesus was putting us to the test. Every now and then, money would get cut low, and we didn't have it. And the Pico would cut the power off. But I'm trying to help you to understand what it looks like to be committed. The Lord left us a good witness when he left Sister Sanders' work. One day the electricity was off and Brother Hyman was up here for a conference. And sure enough, when he pulled up, my aunt brought him over to the church. And when he pulled up, the lights was off. And my aunt told him, ain't nobody in there. And he told her, yes, somebody's going to be in there. Why? Because service time is right now. And sure enough, when he knocked on the door, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. When he knocked on the door, he opened up the door, found that sister with a flashlight in the dark. Calling on the name of Jesus. You can't tell me you can't be committed to Jesus no matter what. You can't tell me you can't be committed to Jesus no matter what. It is proven time. You need to show the Lord how much you are in this. You must be willing to give your all to Jesus, right? Lord bless us.
Hallelujah.
We would have fellowship.
Jesus,
one time
Jesus.
And the water got cut off
because
the bill just got too high.
Jesus.
And we could
hallelujah.
Not afford it.
Hallelujah.
Lord bless us.
Jesus,
the saints from Maryland were coming up.
Jesus.
And Lord, we didn't have no water.
Jesus.
But the Lord blessed us to find
Jesus.
Milk jars.
Jesus.
Milk, two-gallon milk containers. We found about 17 of them things. And we went out to the water spigot on the side of the church and filled them spigots up with water and put them by the commode. We didn't tell the saints not to use the bathroom. We said if you can't hold it, just try to hold it. And they did just what we said. But we still had service. We still praised Jesus. Why? Because we were committed, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We were committed.
That's it. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for flushing the toilet.
Jesus.
We would just turn,
Jesus.
Fill, take
Jesus.
The back off the toilet,
hallelujah,
and fill it up with water.
Jesus.
And say, if somebody else got to go, you go right on and go.
Jesus.
But we did it because we were committed.
Committed.
We could have closed the doors.
Yeah.
Huh? We could have said no service. But we were committed not to man, but to Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's why I tell you, don't know the sacrifices that went in to get you where you are.
Jesus.
You don't know the sacrifices people had to go through
hallelujah.
To get you where you are.
Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
We didn't have heat.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Huh?
Yes, Lord.
Church didn't have no heat.
That's it.
Because the gas was too high. The heat was going outside the building.
Jesus.
Too many cracks in the wall.
Jesus.
But we went in there.
Jesus.
We still praised the Lord with our coats on, with gloves on. We still gave ourselves over to the ministry of the word, right?
Hallelujah, Lord.
To prayer.
Jesus.
Continually.
Jesus.
Jesus. Lord bless
Jesus.
Us to be in there calling on Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
Lord bless
Jesus.
That brother
Jesus.
Right there.
Jesus.
Jesse Jones to come by while our sister was in there praying by herself calling on the name of Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus will catch you where you are, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Committed.
Yes,
y'all understand what I'm saying? Committed.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You must be committed to Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
No matter.
Hallelujah.
The
Jesus.
Bonds.
Jesus.
No matter the afflictions.
Thank you, Jesus.
You got to be willing to go through
yes,
the test.
You do. Yes, you do.
So Jesus said, I'm sold out.
Jesus.
Is that what that song
yes,
say?
Yes.
Lord, I'm sold out to you.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you require me,
yes.
I give my life, right?
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I give my life.
Jesus.
And many people. Many people heard what you heard. Testified to what you testified. I didn't tell them they had the Holy Ghost. They testified themselves. Lord blessed them with the Holy Ghost. They said the Lord gave them a mind to submit themselves to the word. But some kind of way they let the devil get in their ear. They let the devil cause them to give up. You didn't give up on me because I did not save you. You didn't give up on this church because this church is just a building. You gave up on Jesus. You lost your commitment to Jesus, right?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.
We need to ask the Lord, Jesus, don't let me be like that. Huh? Lord, help me to be fully. Huh? Fully committed. Fully committed to what? To the death. You got to be in this thing to the death, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
You can't be shaky.
Thank you.
You can't be moving from side to side. Lord is not looking for that. He wants someone to be continually. Is that what that scripture says? But we gave ourselves continually unto the prayer and to the ministry of the what? Of the word, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you did.
Yes, saints.
Jesus.
It's the truth.
Yes, it is.
It's been a long time.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
It's been a long journey.
Jesus, Jesus.
But I thank the Lord he's been right there with
us.
Yes. He proved himself over and over again. You all are witnesses of that.
Yes.
Many of you.
Jesus.
Many of you. We prayed with you.
Oh.
We tarried right there with you.
Yes.
Sometimes you had no mind to pray.
Jesus.
But we stayed right there with you.
That's
calling
that.
On the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Right with you.
Jesus.
When you didn't even have a mind to open up your mouth and call Jesus.
Jesus.
We sat right there with you, calling on Jesus. Striving our best to encourage you. We fasted on your behalf. When you didn't have no mind to fast, we fasted on your behalf. And then the Lord touched your mind. He broke Satan's hold on your mind, right? Allow you one day to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean be filled with it. Come forth speaking in tongues as Jesus Christ gave you the utterance. Huh? Not only did I see the joy, I felt it. I said hallelujah. The Lord is in my midst. And I learned it don't take a lot of people. But all you got to do is just have the few with their minds on Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
The Lord will come in on your midst. And the Lord will save. He will fill with the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
Ain't nothing wrong with Jesus. I want you to understand that. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. He's out of the scuttle, but ain't nobody coming through. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. It's us. We done got off track. We done got comfortable. We done got caught up in the fashions of this world. And we need to pray to the Lord. Help me to be fully committed. Help me to be willing to give of myself. So that my soul can be saved and somebody else can be saved, right?
Yes.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Come on. Who got the other scripture? There in Luke. Luke chapter number 2.
36
and 38. 36 through 38. Let's read it. Now there you go. What these folk talk about that the women can't do anything in the church but be quiet. Come on. They gotta be quiet. They can't preach. They can't teach. They can't do anything but come and give. They can give their offering. They can give their tithes. But they can't talk in the church. Because they said, what does scripture say? The woman must be silent. She must keep her mouth shut while she's in the temple. She can praise the Lord. She can give her tithes. She can give her offering. But she sure can't teach. Like something is wrong with her brain. Like something is wrong with her intellect. Like Jesus is limited. Like he can only speak through a man. But he already done told you, I gave you this woman to be your helpmeet. Adam was a lonely creature without that woman, wasn't he? Adam was in that garden all by himself. And the Lord said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Therefore he made him a helpmeet. Adam looked at her and said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of me, right? Oh, yes. And that lets you see somewhere somebody don't understand the scriptures. Because if you open up the book, you'll see it. It's in black and white. What did the scriptures call her? A prophetess. Now you know what the word prophet means. It means to foretell. Or forth tell. Means to tell of future events to come. That's what the prophet is. That's why the preacher is described as the Lord's prophet or his spokesman. Because I am telling you about an event that is to come. What event is to come, Elder Scudder? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back in a day and an hour when you think not. But he is coming back, right? Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Be born above what? Water and the Spirit. If you don't have water and Spirit, you cannot see nor enter into the kingdom of God. He that does not have the Spirit of God, he is none of his, right? You've got to have Jesus living inside of you, right?
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you about something that will happen in the future. Huh? Oh, yes. Brother Robert, Sister Kirsten, and anybody else that's waiting for the Holy Ghost. I am telling you something that is going to happen in your future. If you just stay there, if you just stay there and call on the name of Jesus, one day you're going to come through. One day you're going to feel Jesus move inside of you like never before. And when you feel him, I am telling you, don't be afraid. Let the Lord have his way. Come before him with a committed attitude, right? Come before Jesus with a committed attitude. Oh yeah, when you're calling on Jesus, call him with a committed attitude. Let the Lord know, I give myself. I give my all to you, Lord Jesus. All that I have. Is that what the Psalms say? All that I am and ever hope to be, right? I give it all to you, Lord Jesus. I give it all to you. You're not going to get the Holy Ghost no other kind of way. You got to be fully committed. The Lord Jesus was fully committed. When he died on that cross, he was fully committed. Huh? Come on, saints. He was committed to the task. Huh? He told you how he felt about it. He said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass by me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but what thy. That's just like Paul was saying. I don't know what's going to confront me when I go to Jerusalem. Say what the whisperers are saying. That there's bonds and afflictions that are waiting for me. But none of these things move me, right? Huh? You got to have that same kind of attitude. Huh? Elder Scudder, I don't know. Can you tell me if my family is ever going to get along? Huh? Can you tell me if I'm ever going to be married? Can you tell me if I'm ever going to find someone to love me like I had a boyfriend and girlfriend when I was in the world? I don't know. Because the Lord ain't put that in my spirit. Only he put in my spirit is to worry about your soul. Huh? He didn't put in my spirit to worry about your marital state. He didn't put in my spirit to worry about whether you get in this relationship or that relationship. But what he did put into me is to watch for your soul. And I'm telling you day in and day out, don't you do anything. Don't you go anywhere. Don't you say anything that's going to put your soul in jeopardy. Why? Because you don't want to lose your soul, right? Why? Your soul is too important. It's too valuable. Eternity is too long. And you don't want to give your soul up to nobody but Jesus, right? What kind of prophet are you, Elder Scudder? You can't tell me about what kind of finances I'm going to have this year. You can't tell me about what kind of job I'm going to get. You can't tell me who's going to fall in love with me. But what can you tell me? I can tell you something that's going to benefit the real you. Huh? Something that's going to take care of really who you are. Huh? You more than the money in your pocket. You more than the place that you lay your head at. You more than where you go and what you say. Huh? But what am I? You are a soul. And Jesus died for your soul. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He loved you so much. He suffered, bled, and died for your soul, right? And all he wants you to do is be committed. Be committed to has a call. What call, Elder Scudder? The call to be saved. The call to come out from among them and be separate, right? The Lord just wants you to be committed, right?
Hallelujah.
Be committed to the task. What task? To be a witness unto him. Huh? In all the earth. Wherever you go, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Let your light shine, right? Let your light shine. Let your world, the world know. Let your family know. I represent Jesus. And you can represent Jesus too. Why do I need to represent Jesus? Because you want to spend eternity with Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you don't belong to him. Any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how much you feed the poor. You must be born again, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Thank the Lord nobody sugarcoated that for you. Thank the Lord somebody was honest with you. Huh? Somebody laid it out like it needed to be laid out. Didn't cut no corners. Huh? Listening to Deke the other day. He said, Deke said he was talking to somebody. Said, Elder Scudder, he don't mind laughing with you. He don't mind playing with you. But when it comes down to your soul, you see a whole other side of him. He get real serious. Oh, yes, I do. Huh? Somebody say, Elder Scudder, you got favorites. No, I don't. I treat everybody the way they want to be treated. Some folk want to get close to me. Huh? Therefore, they stay right along with me. He said, Elder Scudder, you don't spend no time with me. It's because you don't spend no time with me. Huh? You want me to be close to you? Come where I am. Do what I do, right? Huh? You see me on the roof? Get on the roof with me. We'll get real close, right? Huh? You see me going to pick up the saints, jump in the chair with me. See, I'm going with you, Elder Scudder. You'll find out we'll be real close. Huh? But all you be doing is doing church stuff. Amen. I'm trying to be committed to Jesus. I ain't committed to man. I'm trying to be committed to Jesus. I'm trying to give the Lord my best. Things down in Maryland, they say, well, you got us doing all of these things. Amen. I ain't going to sit down on Jesus. Now when the Lord gave me ideas to better his church, to better the quality of the saints, to help your spiritual growth and your development, he said, well, we're doing too much. We're not doing enough. We need to be in this continually. We need to do some more to keep our minds on Jesus. Why? Because if we don't, we give an avenue for the devil to get in. And when he gets in, he causes havoc. He causes confusion, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
One thing I'm learning is all of this is helping the saints get together. This is helping the saints talk a little bit more. Get to know one another a little bit more. Take me back to the days of old. Before technology was where it was. When all we had was a Saturday. And Saturday, from the time we got up until the time the sun went down, we were at church. We were at church. Church all day long. We ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. Why? Because we were in fellowship one with another. 7-Eleven knew us by name. Why? Because we stayed in and got out, right? Our neighbors knew us by name. Huh? Isn't that something? Now we try to find all kind of excuses not to come to the church. Shame on you. When the Lord says he's looking for a committed. Do y'all see that? I'm not telling you something outside the book. He's looking for what kind of life? Nothing wrong with the word. This that same word. Anybody knew me anytime? No, I ain't changed my message. You go back 20 years, I'm still preaching the same thing. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Huh? Say, I just gotta, go find your papers. Say, I just gotta, I ain't got, go find your papers. Huh? Go find them brown, wrinkled up papers you got when you first knew me. Huh? Nothing has changed, right? Still preaching the same thing. Huh? Still living a holy and a sanctified life. Huh? still tarrying with you. One generation go up, another one coming. We're still tarrying with you. Nothing new. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This prophetess, come on, keep me moving, keep me moving. This prophetess by the name of Anna, a woman. Ain't no man's name, Anna. That's a woman. What was this woman, Anna, doing? She was an old lady. Come on, my senior saints. 70 plus, your senior. Elder Scott, it's time for me to retire. You better talk to Anna. I can't do no more. You better talk to Anna. What was Anna doing? She was of great age, right?
Deborah had lived with her husband
7 years
from her birth.
Keep going.
And she was a widow.
The husband was dead. But where was Anna? Still serving the Lord. Didn't I tell you, you can't let death shake you? You are going to lose a loved one. Somebody very close to you is going to die. But it has nothing to do with your commitment to Jesus. You got to be sold out to Jesus, right? You got to be sold out to Jesus. You got to serve the Lord no matter what. Whether you married or whether you a widow, you belong to Jesus. Is that what that scripture says? She was a widow of about 80. She was 84 years old. Old lady. You know what old people look like. She was an old lady. But what was she doing? She did not leave the temple, meaning the Lord's church. She did not leave the Lord's church, but she served him. Isn't that something? And I can't even get you to come in one day out of the week. You struggling to come in one day out of the week. She stayed at the temple. Man, you better get yourself together. You don't want a woman like that to be standing at the door. When you get to eternity, standing beside Jesus as your model, and the Lord look at you and look at Sister Anna and say, you ain't meeting the mark. No. I can't let you get in and let her get in after she done did all of this and you have stepped
it. That's it.
You got to be fully committed. Oh, no, come on. It ain't in my book. It's in your book. You brought it yourself. She was fully committed at an old age. She did not leave the church. But she served God with fasting and prayers night and day. You struggling to fast for 6 hours out the day. Elder Scott, I think I'm only going to go to 6 to 12 o'clock today because I'm struggling. You better not let Anna be at the door standing there with Jesus and you looking to get in. And the Lord look at you and look at Anna and say, I don't want you in here because you're going to mess up Anna's spirit. Because every time Anna look at you, she going to say, I did so much more. Why are you even here? Lord told me I barely got in. And you ain't did nothing. Why are you even here? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Don't let Anna beat you out. Well, that's the truth, saints. Time I'm be talking, looking, say, oh, Mother Johnson. Mother Johnson, don't you better let that Mother Johnson beat you out. Don't let her beat you out. She's always there. Don't you let her beat you out. She always got a song. Don't you let her beat you out. Every time you turn around, she got a testimony. Don't you let her beat you out. She might not know your name, but she still smile at you. She still praise the Lord with you. Just like she's been knowing you all of your life. She still hugged you. Still say the same thing to you. You keep running for Jesus, he'll keep you running. Say the same thing to you, whether she know you or don't know you. Don't you let her beat you out.
Don't let her beat you. Thank you, Jesus.
Elder Scott, I can't get on my knees because I'm too old. Don't you let her beat you out. Uh-huh. Better not go into church when she be in there, because you're going to see her right there on her knees calling on Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I can't call Jesus because of my throat. Don't you let her beat you out. Uh-huh. Huh? In her old age. 90 plus. 93, Sister Scott said. Today is the day. Oh, you better not let her beat you out there. She done got a whole nother year on you. Huh? Lord, help me to be committed, right? What does committed look like? I gave you a great cloud of witness. Wake up. Move the coal out your eyes. Clearly see what I have laid in store for you. I've laid it right in front of you. I laid a great cloud of what? Witness. I don't know, Mother Johnson. Shame on you. You should know her. You should really know her real good. You should know all of the saints. And the saints should know you. I don't know how to know. You've been in this way all this time and you don't know nobody? Shame on you. You should be fellowshipping. Fellowshipping. Lord told you, know those that labor among you, right? That's scripture. Know those that do what? Labor among you. I'm going to keep me a little bit more. Got to keep moving. What did she do? Uh-huh. So, hold up. That couldn't happen if she was told to keep silent in the church. Huh? Scripture says that she gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him. Meaning she told other people about Jesus. Not just the saints, but anybody that did what? Was looking. That was looking for what? Redemption. She was letting them know redemption is now. Why is it now? Because Jesus is here, right? Jesus is here. Huh? Jesus is here. That lets you see that you better be careful when you listen to these folks. Say, oh, we're a holiness preacher, and you better go back and get your holiness checked out. Maybe you ain't got the Holy Ghost like you should. Huh? How you gonna tell me I don't have the Holy Ghost? Because you need to check your spirit. Something ain't right with your attitude. Something ain't right with the way you're presenting yourself. The way you present yourself ain't the way Jesus presents himself. And you ought to look like Jesus. Huh? The Lord done told you what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The world didn't know Jesus just like it don't know you. Although it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we've got this hope. We've got this expectation that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Everybody that got this hope purifies himself, right? Why? Because Jesus is pure, right? Something's wrong with your spirit.
Jesus.
Your attitude is not right.
Come on.
You're separating the saints.
Jesus.
Men sitting on one side, women sitting on. You're separating the saints.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Saints should be gathered together. Holy Ghost should be moving from heart to heart. This is not a sexist environment. Oh, see, he broke down those middle walls. That's scripture. That separated both Jew from Gentile, male from female, bond from free, right? To make of himself one man. Huh? Meaning the women can declare Jesus just like the men, right? The women can testify about the goodness of Jesus just like the men. Huh? The men, the women can serve in the church just like the men. Ah, amen, Lord Jesus. The women don't have to be a man. And the man don't have to try to be like a woman. Just be who you are. Huh? The women say, well, Lord called me to preach. You think she got to walk like a man. Put on a man's collar. You be a woman. Be who the Lord called you to be. One thing I see, Anna didn't even worry about no collar. Huh? She knew who she was. Huh? And she gave herself continually. That's what that word night and day means. Huh? That word means continually, right? That's like that song, When You See Me Coming. I got Jesus on my mind. You continually, right? continually she gave herself over to this. Okay, come on, read me a little another one. What the, keep me moving. Now, what this is 1 Corinthians. Uh-huh. Know ye not, they which run in the race do what?
Run all.
Uh-huh.
But one receiveth.
How many get the prize?
One. So run,
run, saints. Be committed to the race. Run.
Yes, Lord.
Okay. What are we striving for? The mastery. Don't you want to be the mastery means you're like instead of you being one that's being tutored, you're the one training somebody. See, and I'm looking for Deke. Deke should be moving past me having to train him how to be a deacon. So he should be well equipped that when another brother come in here, he can show him first of all how to be a good brother. Huh? Don't you worry about being a deacon. Be a good brother. Huh? Be a good brother to the saints. A helper to the saints. And if the Lord should bless you to move into this office, I should not have to train that person how to be a deacon. The brother there should be able to do it. Why? He should be doing all he can do to master his trade right now, right? That's the truth. I'm trying to show. Well, Sister Scudder, she's a little at a disadvantage than anybody else because she's been in this way a long time. She don't really need me to show her how to preach the word or how to be a preacher because she done had many witnesses. But if she was one that just came in and the Lord had called her to this work, it's my job to show her what a preacher looks like, how a preacher conducts themselves, how a preacher is able to deliver and explain what thus saith the Lord. Huh? It's not about just running through a whole bunch of scriptures and quoting this and quoting that. You need to explain it. You read it. Tell me what it's talking about, Elder Scudder. I open up my understanding to the scriptures, right? So Elder Scudder, sometimes it seems like it takes so long. Yes, because we got to open up your mind to the scriptures. I just can't run through a Bible class. I just can't run through a Sunday morning message. You need to have your mind open to what thus saith the Lord. Why? Because you are going to need this word. Some kind of way. You are going to be tested. Whether it's this week or next week. You are going to be tested on what you heard today. Huh? And you can't say, oh, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. The Lord going to call you a liar. Why? Because he said, I already spoke to you. The problem was you wasn't listening, right? What is this message? This message is about being committed to Jesus. So that means some of you are going to be tested on that this week or the week after that. Somewhere the enemy going to creep in and try to make you put something else before Jesus. And then the word going to come to your mind. What word? Committed. Everybody say it.
Committed.
So get into your brain. So you can't say, oh, Scott, I ain't know what you're talking about. Yes, you did. You said it out your own mouth, right? Committed. Huh?
Yes.
That's something to think about, isn't it?
Yes.
Come on, read a little bit, Mom. Yes. Yes. Self-control. Yes. That's right. One beat in the air. Uncertain. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh, and bring it. What bring what up under subjection? Not your body. I got to learn how to bring my own body. Under what?
Subjection.
I done talked to somebody else. And then I myself be a what?
Cast
away. And then you be so busy trying to tell other folk how to be saved and what they supposed to look like and you ain't saved yourself. You the biggest holy critic. You know how them critics be on the side of the road? I know them basketball and football players feel like taking their fist and going up into that booth and punching them in their lip. They be all down, the man running down the field already. He's tired, got all that equipment on him, dodging the punches and everything else. Then all of a sudden, oh, he missed the ball. Oh, man, that was an easy catch. And he couldn't even catch that ball. You know, all season, he's been dropping balls all season. I don't understand how he expects to keep a job. I know that man feel like saying, hold on one second. Walk up that booth. You get out there. You go run down that field. It's hot, and I'm sitting up there carrying all this equipment. And you the biggest critic. Know everything about me, and I know nothing about you. See, we take that same spirit into the church. We just be sitting on the sidelines. We with our little microphone. Such just testified. Didn't she testify? That testified was mighty long. Oh, she said the same thing every time she testifies. You know, look at her. She wore that last week. She didn't even speak to me last week. I said, all right. See, she talking about she loved Jesus. She thanked Jesus and everything. You a critic. Huh? Don't let the Holy Ghost come and punch you in your lip. And say, be quiet, right? Huh? Holy critics, right? Come on, read me the next one, Philippians. I'm going to let y'all get ready to go.
13 and 14. Yeah. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
Yes.
But this one thing I do. I'm sorry, Philippians 3:13-14.
Yes.
Forgetting those things.
Forgetting the things, because you can't change the past, right? Say, I just got out and get my fast day in yesterday. Well, you can't change that. Get it in today then. Focus on what's before you. Forget the things that are what?
Behind.
Huh? Saying, can we do that? Please. Can we do that?
Amen.
And you know, I don't bother with such and such and such because they say, when did they say it? Last year. You stuck.
Right.
Forget the things that are what?
Behind.
My wife get mad at me about that sometimes. She tell you, I'm a lover. And there ain't no shame in me. I'm a lover. I'm the passionate, affectionate one in this. You know, I'm a lover. You know, don't let me say something. Don't let us get in a little, you know, disagreement. You know, because we get in a disagreement. And I'm passionate in my argument. I'm passionate in my position. I'm passionate in my stand. Say what I say, and she give it back to me. And we just say what we got to say. Go to bed. I'll get up the next morning. I love you, baby. I don't know what you're kissing on me for. Did you forget about what you said last night? And I'll be wanting to quote the scripture. The word said, forgetting the things. I'm just teasing. But I thought that was funny because it's the truth. You need to learn how to do what? Forget it. Stop carrying that stuff on with you. Lord done told you, it's all right for you to be angry, but don't carry that anger into the next day. Huh? Don't let the sun go down where? You'll be having all kind of nightmares. Huh? Yeah. All kind of stuff. Be going swimming in your mind. Anger. Anger fuel a whole lot of stuff. Negative stuff. And you'll be wondering why you woke up, you know, all twisted up, your body's hurting, because you was fighting all in your sleep. You don't even remember it. You done had a whole full workout in your sleep, swinging your arms and everything else. Now you wonder, why is my arm sore? I feel like somebody punched. Ain't nobody punched you. You punched yourself. Fighting yourself all in your sleep. All because you were what? Angry. That's why you got to watch what you watch on that television. You be watching them movies. People running from demons and devils. And next thing you think you running from a demon or a devil. Or else you are the demon or the devil. One or the other, right? Huh? Yes. The little fella came up to me. He said, Batman's got enemies. He's got enemies. And I'm saying, well, what in the world are you talking about? But that thing been embedded in his mind. I don't know whether he just watches it all the time, but he keeps it. He has enemies. Batman has enemies. And I said, Joker. He said, yes. Joker. Batman has enemies. Now, what you think is going to be in his mind at night? That Joker's going to be in his mind. He's going to wake up. First thing he say in the morning when he get up, Batman has enemies. He's letting you know what he slept about. Huh? That's why his eyes done looked at me right now. He perked right on up. Like he said, you know something I know, right? Batman has enemies. Come on. Forget those things that are behind
which
you, Satan.
Behind and reaching forward.
Reach forward. Yes.
Which are before.
Yes. Press.
I press toward the mark.
Committed life.
For the prize.
of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Now you notice the bullet there here, and I'm going to stop right there. It says, pursue the testimony, saints. Pursue the testimony. Be the witness Jesus calling you to be. In 2 Timothy 4 and 7, you're going to notice what a committed life looks like. He says what? He has fought. He has finished. And he has what? See, that's what committed looks like. Have fought. Past tense. Have finished. Past tense. Have kept. Past tense. Right? Remember, he's at the place of death. So he's letting you know he's been committed. Now this is nothing more than a continuation of the thought that he said there in Acts. What was his goal in the course of in Acts? He said he did all of this. I don't count my life dear unto myself that I might finish my course with what? With joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That was his commitment. But then when it was all said and done, that's what he was able to say, I did all I was supposed to do. I have fought. I have finished. And I have done what? Kept. I have kept. All right? So keep that before yourselves, saints. Consider those questions that are at the bottom of the lesson. How committed are you to Jesus? Are you easily what? Distracted. Do you quickly or with little effort decide not to do something Jesus has given who? Don't worry about me. Worry about who? What do you have to do for this? Elder Scott, I don't have nothing to do in the church. Shame on you. You've been saved too long. You should be doing something. Whether you're not, so don't let Brother Robert beat you out. Brother Robert don't have the Holy Ghost. He still finds something to do. I saw him in the closet getting a trash bag. Something. Amen, Elder Scott. Find something to do. The Lord done gave you these. Ain't for fighting. Huh? Use your hands to glorify Jesus. He gave you those 2 feet. Use those feet to glorify the Lord Jesus. He gave you this mind. Use your mind to glorify Jesus. Gave you this mouth. Not to cuss. Not to lie, not to gossip, not to murmur, not to complain. Use this to do what? Glorify. What did Anna do? Anna said she used her mouth to do what? Thank Jesus. So think about that, saints. How committed are you to Jesus? Be committed to the Lord. Not some of the way. I'm talking about a wholehearted life. 100%. We sing that song, 99 and a half is just what? It's not going to do. You got to be running wholeheartedly to Jesus, saints, okay? Trust you got something throughout the word. I did not go over everything, but you got your notes. You see where my thoughts is at. Trust you'll hide that word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. Pray to the Lord to bless you. Help the Lord. Pray to the Lord to help you see yourselves in the message. I know I saw myself. That's why you all that I was saying this morning about what I had to go through, that wasn't in my ideas. That wasn't in my thoughts. But when that thing started hitting about committed, I said, well, Lord, yes, you got to be committed. Because you just don't know. You don't know the bonds or the afflictions that are waiting in store for you. But you just got to show Jesus, I'm in this. And I mean it. Mean it. I'm serious. Mean it. Lord, I'm in this. No matter what I lose, what I get, what I don't get, who come, who don't come, I'm in this wholeheartedly. Because I'm expecting to get what? Eternal life in the end, saints. Okay? Trust you'll hide that word in your heart. You may not.